Last week we talked about understanding our place. We need to understand our place. Or you know, there's a lot of people don't understand their spiritual position, where you stand with God and where you stand with the devil. If you see the devil the same way as the world sees the devil, you need to change your mind. If you see troubles and trials the same way the world does, you need a renewing of your mind. If you see God the way the world sees God, then you need to change your mind. There's so many things that we need to renew our minds with, and so we thank God for His Word that reveals. Ephesians chapter 2, let's go ahead and read verses 5 and 6. We're talking about understanding our inheritance in Christ, our inheritance in Christ. So we're, like I said, we're talking about our in Him, our position, our rich inheritance. Paul, over here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, 1 to 4 first. And it says here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus. He's writing a letter to the Ephesians, a church which he started. We saw that in chapter 16, chapter the book of Acts. He started this church through signs and wonders. Notice that, and to the faithful in Christ, and he's talking about anybody else, the faithful in Christ. God calls you the faithful in Christ. How many people know that God calls those things which be not as though they were? So you say, well, I'm not faithful in Christ. Well, God calls you faithful. He's calling you a faithful person. So you might not, you look at your own life. How many people will look at their own life and you're challenged by the fact to call yourself a faithful person? Amen? We might, there's different things that we're not faithful in. I'm not talking about being unfaithful to your mate or anything like that, but anything else in your life. You know, if you look at your life very closely, you're not as faithful as you think you are, or you're not as bad as you think you are, too. But, you know, the point I'm making is this, that God calls you faithful in Christ. And, you might not think that. Your friend might not think that. Your family might not think you're faithful. Your community might not think you're that faithful. But thank God that Jesus, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, says that you're faithful in Christ. I want to tell you something before you get too excited. I know you're all excited about this. I'm just kind of gauging because how many screams I've had. Because God calls something that's not... Amen? He calls something that's not the way He wants it to be or the way it is supposed to be in your life. You might not be there yet in the natural, but as far as God's concerned in the spiritual, you are faithful in Christ. He calls you faithful. I know you're excited about that. We'll come to that soon again. Now, let's carry on reading here. He says, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you. And peace from God. We have grace and we have peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God we have the God of Jesus. We have the same God as Jesus. Amen. It's kind of hard to, it's funny to say it that way because that's what the Bible says. Yeah, the God of Jesus. And because he was like, you know, a man when he came here. And so he says, my Father, when he was here. He calls my Father and your Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that, who has blessed us. The King James says hath. And this, the word hath is the word, is a past tense designation. Hath blessed us. Notice this, with all spiritual blessings. All spiritual blessings. Some version says every spiritual blessing. That God has already done this. He's already deemed it so. And so he said, that if there's any spiritual blessing, you know, everything comes from the Spirit. God wants to bless us with every spirit. He's already blessed, wants us to know that we have every spiritual blessing that there is. There's no other blessing ever. God has done it completely. He's already blessed it with every spiritual blessing. There's not going to be any more blessings. But God has already deemed that we're blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. Notice that in Christ Jesus. I want you to notice that. The blessings come when you're in Christ Jesus. In other words, we'll explain that a little bit more. Carry on here. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 to 4, the King James Version. The Lord has called you faithful. He's blessed you, or blessed every one of us, with every spiritual blessing that there is. He's done this before the foundation of the world. Before he created the world, the earth, God had already had you in mind. He knows your name, and he's called you faithful, and he's already blessed you. God has a wonderful plan. It's hard for your mind to understand it. Your mind cannot grapple this thoroughly, but your spirit needs to get a hold of that, that you're a blessed person. Now, there are many things that belong to us because we're in Christ Jesus. Because we come to Christ through receiving him or receiving salvation, begin to accept him and confess him as your Lord and Savior. In fact, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, here we see that again. Ephesians over there says that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In Ephesians 1:3 there. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Notice, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, what about that man in Christ? He said, all things are passed away. All things become new. So right now, you are a new person. Imagine the scripture says that you are a species, a person that never existed before. God made you totally brand new on the inside. You're a new person right now. You'll never be any more new than any time in the world right now. You're new. But you have the same old face. Maybe you call yourself that. You got the same old body, you know. So, but one day we'll receive a new body. We'll receive, these things. So, but right now, you're brand new. You might not feel like it. You might not look like it. But right now, you're brand new. You might not even have totally accepted that because your mind is unrenewed. You're brand new right now. You're a spiritual human being that was renewed totally in Christ Jesus. Many don't know what belongs to them as a result of becoming a believer in Jesus. The question is, do we really know what belongs to us because we're in Christ? In other words, do we know what our inheritance is? The Bible speaks of our inheritance as believers, as children of God. Bible says, or at least we should know what belongs to us. There are at least about 140 verses, Bible verses, in the New Testament that mentions who you are, what you have, and what you can do. Those three things. There's about 140 verses of Scripture in the New Testament that tells about who you are. Like there's people walking around, they want to know who they are, they want to know who their identity. And I remember, your identity, we try to seek our identity from our cultural ways. I know we have different churches that are native churches. We got Ukrainian churches, Lutheran churches. We got German churches, Finn churches, all kinds of churches. But the kind of church I want to be the church of God. And man, I realize there's evangelization in these areas, and it's good. But sometimes we become too slanted towards our nationality, or some kind of a cultural thing. Then we get caught up in the fact that's more important than being a child of God. We need to learn about who we are in Christ. So, let's look at something else here. So do we know who we are? There's 140 verses of Scripture that says these things. For instance, Over here in Philippians 4:19 or 4:13, let's go look at Philippians 4:13. It says here, I don't know, a lot of you might have remembered this verse of Scripture. It says here that I can do all things. Some things, or half of the things, or 25% of the things, or some easy things. The Bible says I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. The Bible says I can do all things. People say, well, I can't lose weight. Well, in Christ Jesus, then that's not true. Then you're saying that you can't do that in Christ Jesus. He says, no, if you examine it real closely, he says, you don't want to do it. You want to eat chicken all night and expect to lose that half a pound. And I can't quit using, you know, drugs or drinking or whatever or smoking, or I can't stop messing around in fornication. I got to have sex to keep me going. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm looking at the floor here. Okay? I'm trying not to be accusative or anything like else. I'm looking over here. But sometimes, you know, just look right ahead and smile at me. Praise God. Amen. Okay, so, you know, we need to know this, that you have power to stop anything that goes on in your life. That you can do all things. Not just some things. Not just spiritual things. Not just maybe some natural things, but all things through Christ. So that belongs to you as a Christian. That you have this ability, that God will strengthen you. And that verse said, who strengthens me, who infuses power and strength in me. You looked at it in the Amplified there, Pastor Dave. It says that God, you're not doing this on your own. You're not alone. People say, I feel so alone. You're never alone. You know when somebody, let me just explain something to you in a moment. Let's read this verse. Come on there, Mr. Your fingers. Philippians 4:13. You remember that scripture? I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength in me. I'm self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. That's a very good scripture. Like, let me tell you something. Just leave that scripture there. Now watch this. When you start smoking cigarettes, all of a sudden that cigarette smoke and the chemicals and the nicotine starts taking over your body. It starts taking your body hostage. Or when you start shooting up drugs and that drug gets into your body and all of a sudden it takes over your body. It becomes Lord. And all of a sudden your mind gets so clouded that it can't see this here. That's what the Bible talks about, that people are blind, spiritually blind. They cannot see that they're free when they're all cooped up in all this stuff. They can't see their way. Why? Because they're not seeing themselves in Christ. They're not seeing themselves as a new creature. They're not seeing themselves that is born again, a child of God, and they can break away. Mind you, that sometimes you need some help to break away because you're caught up. You need help. Your body has taken you hostage. Your flesh has taken you hostage. It's so used to being a boss, and then your mind too. If you're not renewed in Christ, you just think naturally. Like when we read that scripture, if you read the scripture, I was reading Ephesians, that the Bible says that we're holy without blame in Christ. I look at myself, I'm not holy. Look what I just did over there. Look at what I just thought. Look what I, you know, a lot of times we think about things, but listen, just because a thought comes to you doesn't mean it's you. Or, you know, just because you think something doesn't mean you sin. Should have been a relief there. Because a lot of people, like, they think different. They think wrong. It doesn't mean because you think wrong that you're sinning. It's when you begin to plan to do whatever. Start planning it out. Planning your murder. Your rendezvous or whatever. Your your drinking smell. You ever take a fit and get mad? Well, you planned it. You said, next time I'm just going to say what I want to say. Sometimes you want to say, I know sometimes you want to say things in a, you know, if you have lots of friends on Facebook, I've got lots of time to get mad. I've got almost 5,000 friends. I could be mad all day long. And I could be sad too. Everybody's story is so sad. I'd be sad and depressed. And I go to the doctor. The doctor said, what's wrong with you? I don't know. I just feel so blue. What's wrong with you? Well, I've been watching Facebook. Well, we know what's wrong with you. You got to get off Facebook and get on the faith book. Amen? So there's 140 scriptures that say I can do all things. Right, or that who you are in Christ mentions who you are, what you can do, what you have in Christ. So the Bible says I can do all things through Christ. Now, in Philippians 4:19 says something what you have. That first verse tells you what you can do. The second verse tells you what you can have. Well, what you have. Philippians 4:19, let's go ahead and read. I'm reading the King James Version. It says here, but my God, who's God? Your God, your personal God. Your God shall supply half of your needs. Or he might supply it. Huh? Oh, I'm just whole hoping I'll just have my needs met. No, that's not faith speaking. The thing about it is that when we know where we're supposed to be, where we're supposed to be situated, you can be confident if God brought you somewhere, he's not going to let you, starve or let you off. You're on your own. Thank God that we know that God is our Father. He's not going to let you alone. He said he shall supply all your needs, not according to your job, not according to your wife or husband, not according to any of that. Put your faith in him. He said, according to his riches and glory. Are you here? Just get excited about that now. Because I don't know if you're sleepy or not, or last night, what you did, but I went to bed at 11 o'clock last night. Thank God, that's a miracle. I was in bed last night at 11 o'clock, but I think I was shutting down about 12. I don't hardly go to bed at 11 o'clock on a Saturday night, man. I'm partying then. But because of the Leafs lost, I was so in pain. Just sore sickness. And I forgive all my Habs fans who was teasing me. All the Boston fans that are taunting me. Of course, you know that's all on my mind. But sometimes we go wrong with this thing. But, you know, I don't mind. I mean, listen. You get your time. You get your chances too. One day, Vancouver. You're okay with Vancouver? Okay, they lost last night. Okay, thank God Jesus never loses. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Okay, God will supply how much?
All.
How much will He supply?
All.
Some of you are just looking like this. You got to say something. I want to see your face move. Say, oh.
All.
Okay. So I know it went really quick. But how much will he provide for you?
All.
So everything you need, he's going to provide. So don't be afraid that God, even in the fifth, Matthew? Matthew, what's that chapter? He said he is six something. He said he that the Lord, don't worry about it. He'll provide everything you need. He's going to provide it. But that doesn't mean you're going to be lazy, stay home. You have to have a job too. Okay. If the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. So you have to work. Okay, I want to show you something here over in Luke chapter 15. If you go to Luke chapter 15, I thought about this. There's so many people in the kingdom of God, they kind of lose sight of what belongs to them. Luke chapter 15, and I have marked out one scripture, but I want to see the story over here. Mark chapter 15, and what did I say? Verse 31, right at the end here. Now, let's look at something here. I'm going to read. This is a long story. But I'm going to go ahead and read this in another version. Let's go to the 15th chapter. We'll start from the 11th verse, and let's read it in New Living. I think it's New Living, New Living Translation. So this is the parable of the lost son. Some of us have been lost, but now we're found. To illustrate the point further, Jesus told him a story. Luke 15, starting from verse 11. A man had two sons. A younger son told his father, I want a share of your estate before you die. But the father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, the younger son packed up all his belongings and moved to a distant land. It must have been to Geraldton. He moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. There used to be a hotel there called the Geraldton Hotel. It was like a cowboy house. It's like a saloon. You can kick that door open, bang. There's everybody in there looking at you all at once. The music would stop, and you walk in and throw your quarters on the, give me a pint. Then later they find you out in the back door. This is a story about life. It's a true story. He spent his money on wild living. About that time, his money ran out. Oh, my Lord. And great famine spread over all the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him to the fields to feed the pigs. This is a Jewish boy feeding pigs. He's not supposed to be with pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. How many people know that when you're hungry, you just about eat anything? So never go shopping, you know, with an empty stomach, right? You come home with all the stuff that you didn't want. When he finally came to his senses, that's what we're praying, that some of those drug addict friends of ours and family members will come to their senses. That's what we got to have, you know, some people that are not drug addicts, they need to come to their senses too. So he came to his senses. He said to himself, "Self, at home even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me as a hired servant." So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you." See, he had rehearsed this before. "I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." See, that's where people feel. When you get out there on your own, you've done all the junk, all of a sudden your self-esteem goes out the window. How you feel about yourself goes so down that you'll eat with pigs and you'll go down to the lowest level when you're sinning, when you're out there. His father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house, put it on him, get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Kill the calf we have been made fatting. We must celebrate with a feast. For the son of mine was dead and now has returned to life. He was lost, but now is found. So let's party up," he says. So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of the servants, "What was going on? Your brother is back," he was told. "And your father has killed a fatted calf. We are celebrating because of his safe return." The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, But he replied, all these years I've slaved for you, never once refused to do a single, you do a single thing, you told me to do. No, you know, sometimes we go to church, we serve God, we don't think it's fair. When things happen, we look at somebody else, how come they're being blessed? Oh, I've been serving in the ministry, helps for years. How come pastor doesn't elevate me? Why doesn't he put me on television? Well, praise God. Everybody say praise God. why doesn't he make me his, assistant, whatever? Why doesn't they call me and give a testimony? Why does she have to be on television? I should have been master. I have a better story than her. Besides, I look better. My hair is shinier, whatever it is. So you start thinking this way in church. How many people know what I'm talking about? So you become self-righteous, and sometimes you get so low, you become so low that, you know, your name is so low. So this brother was angry. He said, all these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to do. And all the time that you never gave me even one goat for a feast with my friends. Right? People get mad. How many of you got kids like that? They said, you know what? Why does he get to do that? Why does he have to sit in the front? I've been in the back for a long time. If you got kids like that? Yeah? Even older adults, eh? I want the front row. Mom, you can sit in the back. So, I mean, you fight about stuff. So, he was complaining. He said, you never give me no goat. When this son, his attitude comes out, eh? This son over here, didn't say his brother. Eh? I remember this girlfriend my brother and I had. We kind of like dated her, on different weekends. Who's going to take her out this weekend, you know? But she said to me one time, that Johnny. And she was mad at Johnny. But you can tell people when their attitude is that they start saying that, this son of yours, so this guy is mad at his brother. I don't know if you had brothers, but I had these brothers. And they used to fight over bannock like crazy at noon hour and come home for lunch. They're just bannock flying everywhere. Macaroni everywhere. Tomatoes everywhere. Click flying in the air. I mean, this was a fine meal. I'm just kidding. I kept eating, watching them fighting. Took their bowl, started eating. His father said to him, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. I want you to notice this 31st verse, the last section of that verse of Scripture. It says, everything I have is yours. This son, this one son, he left. He belongs to his father, all right? And both of them belong to his father. One of them went out and did all kinds of junk and felt so bad that he didn't even feel worthy to be part of the family. That's what happens when you get out from under God's protection. You don't feel like you belong anywhere, that nobody loves you. And the devil gets on you and puts more burdens on you and tells you, yeah, you don't deserve that. Look at, you know, how much you did and how much you wasted away and you're wasting your time. You're no good. You're dirt and everything else. And he puts you down. You don't feel good. And on the other hand, those are people who just, you know, they don't do anything. They just go to church and they're serving God. They come to church, they're faithful, they give their tithe, they're serving God, doing camera work and cleaning the floors, bathroom, whatever they're doing, on the computer helping. And they might feel self-righteous sometimes because they believe they should get more. And so they're complaining. And so we don't see ourselves very often who we really are. Who are you anyway? Who are you? Well, you're a child of God, first of all. Let's start there. First John, you know, 3, I believe is verse 1, it says, you know, what manner that God has, you know, said to call us children of God. You're a child of God. In the first chapter of John, and it says, that, I think it's verse 14, as many as receive him, to them he called to be called sons of God. To call us sons of God. And so we're children of God, and sometimes we forget this, and maybe you fell off somewhere and you went your own way and did things that you're not proud of today. And maybe as a Christian, you didn't go astray, but in your heart, you have a bunch of junk there that you're harboring resentments, and you're mad all the time, and you have all this stuff going on in your life, and you don't feel good. And you criticize people and so on. You have spiritual sins. How many people know you can be this is far away from God sitting in church because of spiritual sins, your attitude and all that thing. You can sin a lot just by, you know, having an attitude like that. So this guy's having a trouble. And he said, you didn't give me anything. You didn't give me any calf to kill so that I can have a party with my friends. But here the dad reveals the heart of God, reveals what God wants to give you and who you are. And he says this, he said, everything I have belongs to you. What I have belongs to you. Look at it, he says, his father said, look, dear son, you have always stayed with me and everything I have is yours. This is a picture of God the Father telling his church that these things belong to you. All everything in the Bible that says is there belongs to you. We got to get to know we have to understand what belongs to us. We have to know what's in the scriptures. Start getting busy, start reading the Bible, learning who you are. You know, the Bible tells you that you're a righteous person, that God's not holding any sins against you. And people have a hard time with their prayer life because they don't think they're righteous enough that God will listen to their prayer. James 5:16 says, the prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. We have been made righteous. My prayer is powerful. You need to tell yourself, everybody say this, my prayer is powerful. Say, God hears me when I pray. Now, you're not saying that in your own self, you're saying it in Christ. You're saying it just because you belong to Christ, because you've been engrafted into the family, and God doesn't see you from a human perspective like somebody else on Facebook sees you. Or your mate who knows a lot about you. Or your close friends. God sees us in Jesus. And somebody said we look a whole lot better in Christ than we do in ourselves. God has accomplished a lot, you know, through Jesus. The children are winning, they say. They're winning the battles. Kids are fighting in the kids' class. Little children, 5 years old, they're bossing up the... That's what they say when children are acting up, and they say, oh, the kids are winning. We need to help the kids. Is that okay? Does this make sense to you? Because sometimes we don't know what belongs to us. We're already blessed. The Bible says we're not going to be blessed. We're not trying to be blessed. Like, you got to stop acting like I want to be blessed. I'm going to be nice. But you're already blessed before you start being nice. You're just being nice because you need to be nice. And, you know, you don't want to get into trouble with people and God. It says over here, Ephesians 1:3, let's read that again. God says we're already blessed with every spiritual blessing there is. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're already blessed. There's a scripture I was looking at. I think it's the 23rd chapter of the book of Numbers. And this man came to the prophet of God and says, curse this people for me. And he tried 3 times to persuade him to curse these people. And the man says, what God has already blessed, I cannot curse. How many people know you cannot be cursed? Because God already said you're blessed. Say, God says I'm blessed. Say, I cannot be cursed. Somebody told me the other day, oh, he listened to me. Oh, you know, this guy has, you know, they say there's a curse passed on from this generation, we're just kind of living under a curse. I started listening to that. I was listening, trying to counsel people. And that's why I'm not a good counselor anymore. I used to be very effective in learning my skills as a social work practitioner in the clinical work that I had. But I want to go to the Bible. Yes, you need to listen to people sometime, but you need to tell them, listen, you're not cursed. You're blessed. Amen. You little blessing? you're blessed. You're blessed. So it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. You got to get up and say, look in the mirror, so that person is blessed. Smile at the reflection and say, you're blessed. Now, come on, imagine that right now. Everybody, you're looking at a mirror right now and smile and says, you know, you're blessed. Do it. In fact, put it on Facebook, do this. You're blessed. And send it all out on there. Or you could also do this. You're holy. Let's see how many likes you get. And if you read a little further, it says, without blame. Huh? How many likes? You're going to get all the Pharisees and Sadducees attacking you, coming to your house. Amen. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing, all spiritual blessings. There's no more blessings at all that God has not left out. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. I'm reading the Common English Bible. The Common English Bible, 2 Peter 1:4. I guess my message didn't get to you. Let's try that again. And I think you probably, I'm going to airdrop that to Cindy, Goulet, Robbie, Steve. You need to open your Daytona's iPhone. Steve Hussey, Hannah. All these people are good people. They're waiting for my message. Okay, I'm going to, the old-fashioned, sending you this right now. If you didn't get it. Okay. 2 Peter 1:4, the Common English Bible. That's an NLT. That's unacceptable. Okay, I'm going to give you, I'll go to my phone here. I'm going to the phone. You can just try this again, Kendra. Let's pray for Kendra right now. Pray for her phone. She's the only one. I don't know why I'm not getting to you. Is there something wrong with you and I? Is there something wrong with you and me? You got it. Okay, I thought you were just blocking me. Sometimes people block you, eh? Delete you from all the... By the way, the Boston Bruins are playing at 12:30, if you guys want to know. Ed, we're going to finish earlier. He's going to rush out of here. Go, Boston. Ushers, you guys are safe because you have Pastor Steve with you. He's about to be fired soon. Okay, so 2 Peter 1:4, the Common English. There it is, folks. You don't have a Common English Bible back there. Well, go to the bookstore and get it. Okay, Common English Bible says, through His honor and glory, He has given us His precious and wonderful promises. What does this say? Great and precious promises. That'll work too. That God has given us. I like wonderful because it's just wonderful. He's given us, God has given us a whole pile of promises that we need to begun to see what the wonderful promises are. So get to know these promises that have been given to you and begin to embrace them. The dictionary describes, you know, the Bible says that we've been reconciled over here. He said, the scripture says over here, 2 Corinthians 5:19, the King James says, To wit, that God was in Christ. God himself was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The 2 Corinthians 5:19 Amplified Classical Edition says, it was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to himself, favored with himself, not counting up, notice this, not counting up and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them. God in Christ has canceled, not only he's restored us to favor with himself, but he's not holding against anybody any kind of sin or any kind of wrong. Your former lifestyle, whatever you did or whatever sin you committed, God is not, he never wrote that down. He said, I'm holding that against you. And you have to pay for it. You're going to have to pay for the sin. You're going to have to suffer a little bit here. God said, I'm canceling it. See, the devil wants you to believe that you know, God is against you. Because when you have the condemnation and you have guilt, it's hard to go to God in faith. It's hard to believe that, you know, in Jesus, Jesus or God sees you like Jesus because you have his righteousness. So this is hard sometimes for people to understand positionally, spiritually, where they're at. They might not be there mentally. They might not be there physically, naturally in the way they lived or living. But according to God, he sees you in Christ. And you're growing and developing and you're changing things. And and God sees that about you. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to verse 15. I'm reading the Amplified Classical Edition here. Colossians 2, verse 13 to 15, the Amplified Classical. I'm going to start reading. And you who were dead in trespasses. Last week we talked about we were dead in trespasses. And in the uncircumcision of your flesh, your sensuality, your sinful and carnal nature, God brought you to life together with Christ, having freely forgiven us all our transgressions. I want you to notice the next line. Having canceled, everybody say canceled. Canceled. Having canceled, he's already done it. Having canceled and blotted out. Everybody say blotted out. Blotted. Say wiped away. All the way to handwriting and note bond, which is legal decrees and demands, which was in force and stood against us, hostile to us. This note, which is with its regulations, decrees, demands, he set aside and cleared completely out of the way, nailing it to the cross, to his cross. God, notice this, God disarmed principalities and powers that were arrayed against us and made a bold display, a public example of them in triumphing over them in him. In him. In other words, when God laid our sins and our sufferings on Jesus, we were there in him. And when he got the victory over the devil, God counted that victory our victory. That you have victory over the devil in every area. Might not be true to you. Like you got to hear this over and over. That's why we're teaching on this so that you can understand this. And that's why I'm saying that people don't know what belongs to them. So they have to get somebody else to try to get their prayers answered for them. Try to get somebody else to get their healing for them. That can only last for a short time. For instance, I prayed for somebody last week, and they had this problem, pain, and everything else. And the moment I laid hands on this person, the power of God just jumped through me, hit that person in there, and completely just hardly could stand up. And completely was free. But then the next day, he said, it all come back to me. Why? Because they couldn't hold it. Their faith couldn't hold it. I can pray for you. People can pray for you, but can you sustain it on your own faith? That's why building up your own faith is a whole lot better than trying to get blessings from somebody else. Because the devil's going to come back again and try the same tricks he had on you and a few new ones because you don't know what belongs to you. And you got to stand up on the devil. The Bible says, you know, resist the devil. He didn't say get somebody else to resist him. You do it. You resist the devil. I had somebody call me the other day. They were afraid because they had some problems with, they were in this place and they had a haunted house. How many of you have a haunted house? You know, there's somebody haunting me. They said, I just came in this house and it's heavy. Maybe they had a bad meal that day. I don't know what was wrong, but they felt heavy. Well, it doesn't matter if you sense something. You can still take authority over that. It doesn't matter how you feel. So you know by the fact, if you know who you are in Christ, what you have in Christ, and you're free on the inside of you to start believing and acting on what the Scripture says. God is not holding anything against you. He's not holding any sin against you. In fact, He's canceled them all. According to the Scripture, He's canceled all your sins. You're free. Go in peace. And be free from your sin. You are free right now. You know, like when I was a kid, I went to a church that taught me to go to a priest, you know, once a week or whenever I should go. And I would go into this little box and I'd tell the priest all my sins. My sins started getting serious as I got older. And I couldn't wait for Sunday because I'm going to that box over there and get forgiven for that week. And so I would go into that box. I come out, oh, wonderful. By the time the end of the day is done, I got them all back. But you know, you can feel free all the time if your mind is renewed and just know that God has canceled all your sins. Woo, that's wonderful. Just breathe with a sigh of relief. I'm free. You can just laugh at the devil over there. He's trying to attack you. Just laugh at him. You can attack all you want, but I'm free right now. I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to get blessed. I'm not even going to try to pray about it. I'm already blessed. God has already supplied all my needs. I'm not asking for any money. I just know He's going to do it. Praise God. I know this trouble that I have, I know I've overcome it. I've got more strength enough to overcome this. So I'll be, how will I ever make it? No, God will give you strength to overcome every trial that you come through. He's given us faith. Let's go ahead and stand up because we're well over our time. We've just done our introduction to the series. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Word. Amen. Everybody say, thank God for the Word. So He's canceled my debt. Oh, hallelujah. Father, we want to thank You today for Your goodness and Your mercy. I just want to remind you of one more scripture. I was going to take you to Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. In Isaiah 53, 10, the Bible says that God laid upon us or laid upon Jesus our sin. He took the wrath of God was upon Jesus on the cross. And when Jesus was on the cross, He died on the cross spiritually and then physically. Because Jesus had no sin. We'll look at that scripture closely again another time. 2 Corinthians 5:21. The Bible says that He who knew no sin, that's talking about Jesus, He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Right now, you are righteous because of your confession of Jesus Christ. If you've been out of fellowship with God, all you have to do is say, God, I've been wrong. Forgive me for my sins. Forgive me for being wrong. Cleanse me with Your blood. I confess where I am. And God will cleanse you immediately. You don't have to cry about it. You don't have to wail about it. God has already provided that for you. It's so wonderful to know that. It's so wonderful, such freedom to know that Jesus did it all. He took upon Him your sin so that He could give you His nature, God's nature in you, the righteous nature. That's who you are. You are righteous right now. Close your eyes and say, I am righteous because of the blood of Jesus. God is not holding anything against me. No sin, no wrongs, none of my past. It's all wiped away. I'm free right now. I can take authority over the devil and act as my rightful place as a citizen of God. In the name of Jesus, of His kingdom, right? Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for those that are watching online, that your mercy extends from generation to generation. We thank you that we are free right now. We believe it. We accept it. I thank you for this now. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, Amen.